Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God invites you into his presence to know him. As a matter of fact, I want you guys to notice, do you guys know that the most important thing to know about God is that you cannot know God unless God makes himself known to you. And I don't know if people really get that. You cannot know God unless God makes himself known to you. So unless you are initiated by God to know him, you can't know him. I don't care how many scriptures you read. You can know the scriptures and still not know him. That's when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees all day long. He said, you do err because you know the scriptures, but you don't know the power. And you don't know me. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. All right? And so the whole goal is, unless God makes himself known to you, you can't know him. And it's the same thing with anybody. Nobody can know you unless you reveal yourself to someone. And What happens when we try to know somebody without them showing them who we are? What do we call that? Somebody said a creep. Someone who thinks they know you, but you've never showed them who you are. All right. So you walk, when somebody tries to say they know you and you've never exposed yourself to them, you've never had a conversation with them, much less, then that person is walking around with a judgment, right? A judgment of you, or an assumption. And many people today have assumptions of God, but don't have a revelation of God. Because a revelation is when God makes himself known to you. All right? So the most important thing you want to have is you come to God knowing that if the only way I can know him is if he chooses to reveal himself to me. My attitude when I come into his presence, when I open up his scriptures, is not of one of presumption. It's not of one of assumption. It's an attitude of humility. Because unless you show me you, I don't know you. The good news about that is God wants to be known. He wants to be known by everyone. But unless you, the Bible says, if you seek after him, you will what? Come on, you will find him, right? So unless we seek after God and have a heart to go after him, we won't know him. God does not reveal himself to everybody, because if you don't want to know him, he won't reveal himself. There has to be a pursuit. There has to be a hunger. There has to be a desire. The Bible says if you search for him with all of your heart, not some of it, but with all of your heart, you will find him. All right? You follow me? And so I'm assuming that everybody in this place wants to know him. Amen? And if you want to know him, I'm assuming that you're leaning in with all of your heart and all your soul. You want every part of you to be able to receive this word, because what I'm going to show you today is, again, the first level of expansion, if you look at your paper, is the level called consecration. Everybody say consecration. This is a new word for some of you, and if you grew up in church, a very familiar word. But I'm going to dive into this principle, because, again, if you don't understand consecration, if you don't understand this specific principle, you will not be able to grow any farther than this first level, all right? And so let's look at the scriptures that we have listed. Let's start with Exodus chapter 33. Somebody say, I'm ready to grow. Exodus 33, verse 7, I'm going to be reading from the NIV. All right, I want you guys to be alert. I want you guys to be sharp. I want you to catch this thing beyond what I'm saying. Listen with your spirit, all right? Exodus 33, verse 7. Thank you. Exodus 33, verse 7 says this. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away from the camp, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord will go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua son of Nun, did not leave the tent. All right? That's Exodus 33. Now let's read Luke 10. I'm just going to read the two verses and we're just going to flow. Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, NIV, once again. Now it came to pass as they went that he, talking about Jesus, entered into a village. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Who sat at the Lord's feet. If you have a Bible or you have your phone, just highlight that. Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made for him. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Okay? So in this specific chapter, again, we see Mary. The Bible says she was sitting at Jesus' feet, which is a term that historically meant that when you sat at somebody's feet, it meant that you were surrendered to them, you were submitted to them, or you were becoming a follower or a disciple of that person or a student. When you sat at someone's feet, it meant that you is a term that it might mean literally, but it also meant that you were willing to become a follower, a student, and that you were willing to surrender or submit your beliefs, submit your understanding or your perspectives so that you can now learn from this person. And the Bible says that Martha, when she invited Jesus to her house, we talked about this, I think, during the Pop Life series, how when she invited when Jesus was invited to her house, she was so excited about the fact that Jesus was in her house that she wanted to spend her time trying to impress him or please him, I guess make him feel comfortable, make him feel welcomed into her house. But then her sister Mary, instead of going in the kitchen and cooking up Jesus a meal, she chose to sit at his feet. And Martha, who saw her sister doing this, thought that she was being lazy. If I cook up this thing for God, then maybe God will honor me a little bit more. But in essence, the first thing Jesus wanted was not her work or her effort. It was simply her surrender. All right? I mean, she was sleeping around, and everybody knew that was all she was good for. And so, because of that, she was considered unclean. Besides the fact that she was a woman and she was a mixed Jew, she was unclean from a moral standpoint, from a gender standpoint, and yet and still we see Jesus interact with her with grace, with honor, with dignity, because that's the nature of the God you serve. That he doesn't throw anybody out, doesn't judge anybody, but he loves everyone just the way they are. And in the sense that when Mary, after Jesus prophesied to her and began to empower her with his grace, with his love, that when everybody else had negative words to say about her, Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet. And I love the whole transition in Mary's life, because Mary was so close to Jesus that to the end, in Luke 24, after the resurrection, who was the person who saw Jesus first? Mary. When everyone else, Peter and James and John and all the guys that walked with Jesus, was crying And they were frightened and terrified because their Lord was just crucified and massacred 3 days ago. It was Mary who prepared spices and went to the grave and saw that Jesus was not there. Mary was positioned by God to be in Jesus' life in very critical moments of his life. And it was because she chose to sit at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said to her, when Mary said, you know, she's not serving you the way that I expect her to serve you. Jesus said, she actually chose the better part, Martha. That when she learned to sit at my feet, she chose the better part. And that part would not be taken away from her. So if Jesus did not want to take that part away from her, there is somebody who would try to take away the part of your life in which you're willing to just sit at Jesus' feet and learn how to wait on him. All right? And that's Satan himself, who would try to get you so busy for God. I always learned that the devil knows that if he can't stop you from serving God, he just makes you so busy for him that you don't have time for him. If he can't stop you from serving him, he'll make you so busy that you don't have time to serve him. And many of you guys are so busy that you don't got time to pray anymore. You don't got time to read your word anymore because you got so much going on. And Martha was Bible says, through her much distraction, worried and confused. And there's so many Christians today worried and confused and bogged down with life and all the responsibilities of life. But I got good news for you. Jesus said the better part or the better thing for you to do is to forget about your business for a little while and just learn how to sit at his feet. And this is the challenge, and this is where consecration comes into play, all right? So consecration, what is consecration? I'm giving you two definitions of consecration and two objectives, all right? Now, the word consecrate, number one, the word consecrate, it means to pull away from, to cling to, all right? Consecration, it means to pull away from, to cling to. Can somebody just give me a sheet? I don't have one up here. To pull away from, to cling to. The picture or the image, thank you, the picture or the image of consecration is actually that same Bible says that in the book of Genesis that when God told Adam that he is supposed to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That is the picture of what this word looks like, all right? That you're pulling away from the norm or your old norms, and you are now devoting yourself to something. All right? To pull away from, to cling to. And the other definition of the word consecration is really the transliteration of the Hebrew word, which means to have one's hands filled. Okay? Now, to be filled or to have your hands filled, it actually means to be equipped or to be empowered. When your hands are filled, it means you have the tools. You're equipped, you're empowered, and you're authorized to do something. Okay? So consecration is the discipline, and it is the art, it is the process of pulling away from to cling to God. Consecration is the discipline, the process, and the art of pulling away from to cling to God. It's the time of separation that you choose to offer to God in order to come closer to him and to spend beneficial time with the Lord. Consecration is, we're not talking about intercession at this moment. We're not talking about going into God's presence with your prayer list and you're praying for everybody and their mother. We're not talking about that, although you can intercede during consecration, but the goal and the objective of consecration is to just simply spend time with God. All right? It's to simply spend time with God. Exodus 33 gives us another picture with Moses, right? The Bible says that he established a tent, or a tent of meeting, which was a place where he designated apart from the crowd, apart from all the people. It was a space and time he designated to God where he will go and inquire, the Bible says, of the Lord. Where he will wait and wait in the presence of God. And the Bible says that God will literally come and speak to Moses face to face in this tent, in this sacred space that was designated for him. Now, the art of consecration, again, is what is trying to be taken away from you from, according to what Jesus said, I will not take this part away from Mary, but the enemy will come to take away this part from you. You know why? Because if he can get in between you and your time with God, then he can distract you, he can tempt you, he can pull you away from the presence as he did with Eve and Adam in the garden. You see, the thing about consecration is that it's supposed to be something that is done daily. That's why it's a discipline. It is a habit that you must do. The Bible says in Genesis 3 that God came to visit Adam in the cool of the day. And it was God's intention that that Adam will come before God, or God will come before Adam and have this interaction, this communion, right? This communion, this time of fellowship with God daily. And again, if you fall out of consecration on this time where you meet God daily, what begins to happen is there's also something that comes daily called temptation. How many people get tempted every day? Right? How many people know temptation will continue to come every day? All right, so if temptation is coming daily, then you should be coming to the presence get daily, or else you're going to give in to one thing or the other. Okay? You're either going to give in to the presence of God, give in to the person of God, you're going to give yourself over to his presence, or you're going to end up giving yourself into whatever you might be tempted with. All right? So it's extremely important we understand consecration. There are two objectives of consecration. Number one, transformation and change. The number one objective you have when you come into the presence is that you are coming into his presence so that you can be changed. How, you know what religion does is religion tries to teach you to focus on changing your life in your own strength. The good news about the grace of God is God does not want you to try to change yourself. God wants to be responsible for changing you. God changes you. Whenever you try to change yourself, you enter into self-righteousness. You enter into dead works, the Bible says. You're trying to do for yourself what only Christ can do for you. That's why 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Bible says, now the Lord is the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when we with open face behold him as in a mirror, we will be what? Change. Everybody say change. And change is the only viable expression that you have met with God. You see, if you are not changing and you are not being transformed, then there is no valid indication that you have had interaction with God. Because there is no biblical basis for anyone to come into the presence of God and leave the same. So consecration is a willful act of coming into the presence for the purpose of being changed. My wife posted a picture the other day of, yesterday of Sierra, who she's now engaged to Russell Wilson. I was about to say Russell Westbrook. Russell Wilson, all right, her now fiance. And then it was a picture of her when she got engaged and he proposed to her. She was nicely dressed, you know, nicely clothed. And then there was another picture of her with her ex-boyfriend, Future, not some hip-hop rapper. I never heard his songs. I don't know him. But there was a picture of her lighting up and there's smoke all over the room and she's just like smoking, sitting on his lap. And she just looks like Mary Magdalene, all right, in that picture. And so now, it was a picture of a comparison of how she conformed to the image of the person she was with. In both pictures, she conformed to the image of Future and the lifestyle he lived, and then she conformed to the image of Russell Wilson, who was a devout Christian, who chose to say we're going to be abstinent before we get married and do it this way. And you can see the difference in her appearance. Now, what that actually shows us is, in essence, one of the most critical things you want to know about consecration. Because anytime you spend time with someone, you actually begin to conform to their lifestyle, their image, and their nature. Anytime you spend with someone, you conform to them. And that's one of the things, what happens in consecration is God begins to deal with your image. Because as you spend time with him, and you simply wait on him, and you allow him to come to you as he promises he would do, what happens is that you actually become conformed to his image. And that's how you're supposed to change, the Bible says. You are changed by entering into the presence of God and allowing the presence of God to deal with you, to deal with your attitudes, to deal with your perspectives, to deal with your beliefs, and allowing God to simply impress his nature in you. Because the more time you spend with someone is the more you actually become conformed to their nature. So, you don't change by trying to avoid sin. You change by coming into the presence of God. You don't change by trying. See, if you just try to avoid sin, but you're not giving your heart a new pursuit. You know, there's a song that says, your heart wants what it wants. All right? Your heart needs a focus. If you simply focus on not sinning, but you don't focus on coming into God's presence and knowing him, what begins to happen is, although you're focusing on not sinning, you're still focused on sin. So you never gave your heart a new focus. Sin is still a focus. Your heart needs a new passion or a new pleasure. Your heart needs something to go after. And consecration is saying, God, I'm going after you. I'm pursuing you. I'm seeking your face. And every day I am choosing to sit at your feet and wait in your presence for the purpose of transformation. Hallelujah. Anybody want to be changed? All right? You see, unless you understand this, you're going to sit there and try to work on yourself. And the world will tell you that's how you change. It's not how you change. The beauty of worship is conformity. That whatever you give yourself over to, you conform to. Whatever you behold, you become. Psalm 16, verse 8, the Bible says, David said, I set the Lord continually before me. I set the Lord continually before me, and because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. See, David understood this secret of consecration. I set the Lord continually, consistently, daily. I'm choosing to consistently set God in my sight, to set my focus on God, to set my focus on Jesus. And if I continue to do that and pursue him, I know that I'll be changed. I know I'll be transformed, all right? You have to learn to set the Lord continually before you, or you will be distracted. You know, we come to church for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, however long we're here. Then you go the rest of the week. God knows what environments you go into. I don't know what your home is like. I don't know what your workspace is like. But if you don't know how to pull away from, to cling to the presence of God, you will conform to what you expose yourself to. Right? If you get around people, I don't curse. But if you put me around an environment for a long time, people who curse, guess what's going to happen? It'll start coming out of me, right? Anybody that ever happened to you? You got around some people and then, you know, you start getting desensitized. They don't have the same values and the same morals as you. And so certain conversations that you probably won't enjoy or entertain, all of a sudden, you hang around it long enough, it starts becoming a part of you. Why? Because that's human nature. Whatever you expose yourself to consistently, you will conform to. Right? So, consecration is pulling away. You gotta sometimes get a tent of meeting like Moses. You need to set aside a place and space where you can just say, Lord, I'm coming in your presence today, and I just want to spend time with you, all right? And you wait in his presence, and you just simply come after him. And there is something powerful and supernatural about that, because the Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, we don't have laws like the Muslims who say you got to pray, what, 3 times a day or 5 times a day, no matter where you are. We don't have those laws. But what God actually wants to see from you is an act of your will. That's why consecration will be the biggest challenge in your life, because it requires your sacrifice. It's going to require your discipline. And God is going to deal with you in consecration. And then what happens after transformation and change is that the more you spend time with God, the more you'll change. There's no amount of reading, there's no amount of prophecy, there's no amount of laying on of hands on you that's going to replace the need for your personal diligence of consecration. I can prophesy to you all day. If you don't spend time with God on your own, you won't change. He can lay hands on you, pour oil on you, that won't change you. It's going into the presence of God for yourself. Hallelujah. And then number two, what happens is, as a result of being in his presence, the second objective of consecration is empowerment. Write that down, empowerment. Empowerment. God changes you to empower you. God changes you to empower you for a duty, for responsibility. All right? And empowerment is what the definition of consecration is, to have one's hands filled. So when you pull away from and cling to God, God begins to fill your hand and begins to equip you and begins to empower you for ministry, for work, for duty, for action. God never just changes you for you to just change, be changed on your own. He changes you so that you can be empowered to change others. Okay? You are empowered by God to change others when you spend time in consecration. And so the truth of the matter is, if you ignore the time of consecration when you spend with him long enough to be changed by him, the empowerment that you're expecting to walk with, the anointing you expect to walk with, the grace you expect to walk with, it'll wear off. It'll wear off, because the way that the presence of God or the power of God is released to you is through consecration. Quickly turn to Mark chapter 3, verse 13, last verse we're going to see today. Mark 3, verse 13 through 15. One of my favorite passages of scripture, the Bible says this, verse 13. And Jesus had went up into a mountain, a separate place, and called unto him whom he would, and they came to him. Talking about those he called. Verse 14, and he ordained, he sanctified, he called 12, that they should what? That they should what? Be with him, or consecrated before him, all right? To be with him, that he might send them forth to what? Preach. And what else? And to have what? Power. So the prerequisite to empowerment was being with him. If you want to know the secret to power, anointing, healing, deliverance, breakthrough, it comes with being with God. If you want to be anything for God, you have to be with God. And if you, those who find time to be with him will find him. Okay? The secret is going into his presence, going after him, spending time with him. This, I stumbled on this. I didn't know that when high school, when the Lord began to give me this hunger for his word, I would spend hours in the Bible, in my room, just reading the word, just him, just waiting on him, just reading. I just wanted to know more about God. I didn't know what I was doing. I just had a passion for God. This was about 16, 17 years. I was about 17 years old at the time. And I knew it was supernatural, because before, I used to run home after school to want to play video games. And then at one point in my life, there was a hunger in my heart so strong, I would want to run home just to get in my word. And just to hear God speak to me. Because I was starting to get revelation. God was opening the scriptures to me. And it was so exciting to me that I just wanted more. I just wanted more. I just wanted more. To the point where I wouldn't even do my homework until about 11 o'clock. The first thing I would do is just get into my room, just pray, and ask the Lord to speak to me. It was something that came over me. He invited me. He initiated me into this place, because no one knows him unless he wants to be known. And so this thing became a part of my life for about 2 years. Just in my word, in my face, worshiping. I had my keyboard at the time. I would play. I would worship God. Then I would go by the Bible. I would read. God would speak to me, show me something else from the word. I would write down and I would record what he was saying. I didn't know what he was doing. I just wanted to know God. I didn't have any responsibilities at church besides music. I wasn't preaching anywhere. I didn't study because I was getting up to preach on Sunday. I was just studying because I wanted to know him. And what happened was I developed a history with God. And because I spent time with him, then he empowered me. And then a few years later, he said to me, why don't you start a Bible study? Which we ended up calling Hungry for God. Where in that Bible study, I was beginning to share all the stuff God was showing me years ago in my room. With no one watching, no one looking. And that became the launching pad of Hungry for God Church. But it happened when I was by myself, what you would call my mountain or my tent of meeting in my room, no one watching, just me and God. I don't know what God is going to call you to do. That's why it's so important that if you don't wait on the Lord and you get busy trying to do stuff for him, you don't know what you're anointed, what you're empowered, what you're equipped to accomplish. And you can go about just trying to pick some random things to do for God and hoping that God will bless you. No, the key is spend time with him first. And by spending time with him, then he'll open your eyes and show you what he's equipped you to do. If you're not anointed to start a church, don't. If you're not called, equipped, empowered, if you haven't spent time with him and you receive this anointing to leave your job and go into full-time ministry, don't. You have to have a clear word from the Lord that comes through consecration. Anybody want to know what their purpose is in life? They want to know what they're called to do? Anybody want to know what their calling is? You know where it's going to come from? Spending time with God. And because we avoid God, you know one of the dangerous things, I think Christine Kane said this. She said, the dangerous thing about going outside of God's will to get something is that you have to stay outside of his will to keep it. If you go outside his will to get something, you got to stay outside of it to keep it. And that's why some people are so hard to walk away from the things that they started in their own strength, their own effort, like Martha, because now God says, I don't even ask you to do that for me. I never even called you to do this. You know how many churches are started right now? God never asked these guys to start. And that's why it's fruitless. That's why there's no expansion taking place. Because God didn't reproduce that in them. When you spend time with God in intimacy and communion and consecration, God begins to reproduce in you his desires, his will. Come on. Hallelujah. That's why life will be a lot easier if you learn how to treat the presence of God like a priority, not an emergency. So the presence of God is interactive, it's communal, it's relational. If you choose to come into the presence of God daily, make this your priority, your pursuit, your devotion, you will be changed. Amen? You will be empowered, all right? So the two requirements of consecration, number one, the law of pursuit. Write that down, pursuit. And number two, the law of wait. These are the two requirements of consecration. We're pretty much done. Consecration, it requires your pursuit. Everybody say pursuit. Pursuit, the law of pursuit is human priority. The law of pursuit is human priority. When you make pursuing God your priority, then you will find him, all right? So all you have to do is do it. Some of you might say, well, I don't know what to do when I get into God's presence. Doesn't matter. Just get there. Just find time. Open your Bible if you want to play some worship music. Do whatever you can. Spend time with God. The Bible promises us all throughout scriptures that whoever seeks him will what? Find him. That is the promise. If you seek him, he will make himself known to you. If you don't have a diligence or pursuit in your heart, he won't show himself to you. If you don't want to know him, you won't know him. If you want to know him, you will know him. And this is an act of your will. There's some of you who you're worried about people. You want to see people changed around you. The key is you go after God and get changed. Moses went into the presence so long, the Bible says, so often, that eventually his physical composition changed, where his skin was glowing from radiating the holiness and the power and the glory of God, because he spent so much time with God. He was changed, and as a result of being changed, it impacted and affected people around him. You want to see people change around you, get closer to God. Come on. This leads us into the law of wait, because it's when you wait in his presence, like how we did in presence night, when we just waited there. You don't know how powerful that is. Just by waiting on him, the Bible says that's the only way we can know him. The Bible says, be still and what? Know that I am God. See, listen to me. Look at me. There is no secret to this. Waiting simply means to wait. It literally means sitting at his face, sitting on his feet, laying on your face. Sometimes you know what I do? You want me to take you into my tent of meeting and my secret place? I'll say, Lord, here am I this morning, or whatever time it is. Speak to me. Just in that posture. I get low, as Ryan was saying, get low. Position yourself, because if he doesn't make himself known to me, I can't know him. So I position myself in a place of in a posture of surrender, humility. I'm not coming with any presumption. I like to walk around and pray when I'm interceding, but when it's time to consecrate, I'm on my face. Because it's not about my many words. It's about what he wants to say to me. And because I'm opening up my heart to hear from him, I'm waiting for him to begin to show me things. And I stay in that posture for as long as I begin to sense him. It might be a vision, it might be a thought, it might be a scripture he might lead me to read, it might be a specific something he wants me to pray for. And then all of a sudden, what begins to happen is my time with God becomes spontaneous, it becomes free, it becomes liberating, and it becomes something that's enjoyable. But you know what? That first few minutes is not that enjoyable. Those first 5 minutes, you're just sitting around, it just seems like you're wasting your time. You start thinking about all the stuff you could be doing at this moment. All right, you start thinking about what's on TV or what you want to eat or the person that you got to call. All these thoughts are beginning to come in your mind, but what happens is the longer you wait, you steal your soul, and eventually your soul gets quiet, and then you can actually hear God speak to you. So you gotta wait, the law of wait, you wait until he shows up, you wait till he begins to speak, and I promise you know when he begins to speak. Last thing I remember, the first time God began to speak to me, I was sitting down watching Martin. Not the replay, this is back then, this is when Martin was still on, right? Like mid-90s. I was sitting down in my living room watching it, and then I heard a voice say, turn the TV off. This is the first time I can clearly remember knowing that God spoke to me, to take the TV off. And I looked around, I ignored it, and I just kept watching. Then I heard the voice came to me and said, turn the TV off. Third time it happened, I thought somebody was speaking to me, like Samuel. When he heard Samuel, he thought Eli was calling him. Turned the TV off. I turned the TV off, and I looked around and said, what was that? I think I was just barely saved. I really didn't know God like that. And after I turned the TV off, I thought it was God. I said, God, is that you? And then he said, go into your room and read your Bible. That was the thought that came to me. And it was so weird to me. I just got up, went upstairs, opened my Bible, didn't know what to read. But as I responded to what he was sharing with me, he kept revealing more and more and more to me. It's like in Exodus 3, when God called Moses out the burning bush. He saw the bush, and the Bible says he turned to see the bush that it was burning. And then when he went to look at it, God spoke. So as when you respond to God's invitations and God's initiations and not harden your heart and just, you know, God, I'm busy right now. God, I'm, you know, I got this to do. No, when you sense a nudge and a pull, God is inviting you into his presence. You better respond. Why? Because you can't know him if he isn't inviting you to know him. So if he's inviting you and initiating you to come, he wants you to come and know him, respond to him. Respond to his leading, respond to his impulses, because this is when you actually will enter into that place called consecration. You don't have the desire to know God until God gives you one. The fact that you are here today is not because you want to be here. I can tell you that right now. The Bible says we all like sheep go astray. We don't want to know God. We want to do what we want to do. But the fact you're sitting here today means that God is inviting you and initiating you into a deeper communion and relationship with him. Don't take this lightly. Protect your hunger. Protect your pursuit. Because once you lose that, you will be left to your own devices. And when you are left to your own, you're going to choose what you want and not God's will. All right? You guys got that? All right, here we go. Last thing, the benefits of consecration. Number one, purity. When you spend time with God, purity is the derivative of being with him. Okay? When you enter into his presence is holy. His presence is what cleanses you. His presence is what develops you. His presence is what sanctifies you. You don't become holy by trying to not sin. You become holy by being with a holy God. God is holy. So he says, be holy for I am holy. The way you become holy, the way you become pure in your life is by being with him. Holiness is not wearing all white. Holiness is not wearing a big hat. All right? Holiness is being with God, being in constant contact with a holy God, because you become like whoever you surround yourself with. Yeah, it's true. Do you realize that? The more you spend time in him, you change. Right? So the purity of God rubs off on you. You begin to obtain a new level of discipline in your life. God begins to actually begin to put to death things in you that are not like him. And then number two, power. Everybody say power. The power of God is given to you as you spend time with him. Power is the ability to change things, all right? The power is the ability to influence things and cause things to shift in your life and cause things to change. And if you spend time with God, power comes as a result of that. And number three, position, placement, or we can call that promotion, okay? Promotion. Position, placement, promotion. As Mary was positioned to be the first one at the tomb to see the resurrection, okay, because of her consecration with God, so will God promote you and position you and put you in the right place at the right time for whatever God wants in your life. See, the thing is, promotion, Psalm 75, verse 6 says, promotion comes from the Lord. This is my last point. Promotion comes from the Lord. You see, if you're looking for promotion, the Bible says don't look to the east, don't look to the west, don't look to the north, don't look to the south, but promotion comes from him. You know what that means? If you stop looking at all these other people to try to position you, promote you, and put you in the places you want to be, and if you stop trying to promote yourself, and spend time with God, God will begin to position you and place you where he needs you to be to succeed. When Adam broke consecration and communion with God, he was misplaced and dislodged out of the Garden of Eden, where now life became hard, where life became a matter of work and toil and effort, all right? When it was all designed to be easy, it's supposed to be a flow, abundance, expansion, fruitfulness. It was in the presence. So, if you are looking, listen to me, this is a word, this is a prophetic word. If you're looking for your employers to promote you, you're looking the wrong place. Promotion does not come from your employers. It comes from the Lord. You can be the best worker. You can be on time every day. You can do everything. But if promotion isn't your time and your season from God, you will stay right there. And you have to trust that God wants me promoted when it's time for me to be promoted. And if you don't work for anybody, if you work for yourself, even better, where does the promotion come? Not from those who are going to be buying your products, or the people who you're seeking to be the ones who are going to be a benefit to whatever you're selling or whatever you're producing. No, the Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. So if I do everything that I do as unto the Lord, not as unto man, if I do everything in excellence, like I'm serving God, not just the people that I'm working for, or if I'm working for myself, the Bible says if I do it as unto him, he will position me, he will promote me, he will place me where I need to be. And promotion is another word for expansion. Hallelujah. So promotion, expansion, increase isn't going to come from anybody else. It's going to come from you spending time with God. And because you are faithful and dedicated to him in this place called consecration, he empowers you, he promotes you, he places you where you need to be. And then expansion becomes a natural byproduct of being with him. So everything I'm saying in short is this. Spend time with God, spend time with him, and God will begin to position you where you need to be in life. Your purpose will be clarified. The vision for your life will be defined. It will become exposed to you because in his presence, as Ryan said, is in worship. Where he says something profound, you guys are sitting there like he was speaking in tongues. He said it very clearly. He said, it's in worship, you see the clearest. In worship, in consecration, you see the clearest. You know exactly what you're supposed to do. You know exactly where you're going when you spend time with God in the secret place called consecration. Amen? So I drilled it on you today. It's not about you getting screaming and getting hyped today. It's about you getting this. I want you to walk away with this, thinking about how you're going to go home and begin to set up your tent of meeting and how you're going to sit at Jesus' feet and begin to develop this discipline, this art, this practice of consecration. It's a mystery because you feel like the less you're doing, you'll feel like you're not doing enough. But the mystery is that no, if you spend time with God, God will begin to do the work for you. He'll promote you. He'll position you. He'll place you where you need to be. He'll empower you for everything that you're called to do in life. Amen? Let's all stand.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.